All right, now today we're going to finish up here real quickly in talking about what to do after you've prayed. And this probably is the one area that affects more people in not getting their prayer answered, especially once they've learned they need to believe they receive when they pray. See, where Satan really gets involved in trying to stop the answer to your prayer is usually after you've prayed, because there's a time interval between the time you pray and the time that you actually see the answer to your prayer. And during that time, you don't see anything change a lot of times. But see, the thing is, when you pray, things start changing. But they don't start changing where your eyes, ears, all your senses can pick up on it. They start changing in the spirit realm. Things start to happen behind the scenes. Say you're praying for finances, okay? And you need some money. Okay, well, tomorrow, things don't look any different to you. You look out your window, you don't see anything different. You look, you still got the bills there. They didn't automatically get paid. So Satan will come in and says, you don't really think that prayer did any good to you. You don't think anything's going on here. Well, you know what? Things are getting worse. There's another day gone by that you're overdoing this bill. Well, you look at that, and you start to waver. But see, the thing is, what if God's already spoken to certain people about this thing? You can't see that. You don't know. This is beyond your ability to see with your eyes and hear with your ears. It doesn't mean God isn't working on this thing. You understand what I'm saying? So don't give up on your prayer if you've done the first five steps right. You got a good start here. Don't cast it away now. So the step six is, the first thing you need to do is refuse to doubt. Once you believe you receive when you pray, don't doubt that. Hang in there. This is something for yourself now, remember? Never permit a mental picture of a prayer failure to be in your mind. The enemy will try to get you to do that. Never doubt for 1 minute that you have that for which you've asked. Now, James 1:6 says this. He says, he's talking about wisdom. He starts off talking about wisdom, but he ends up saying, well, for anything. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all that ask. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Wavering means persuaded of two different possibilities here. 1 minute you feel strong, God's answering this prayer. The next minute, you know, some situation, some circumstance arises, and you go, well, it doesn't look like things. Or maybe it's healing. Maybe the pain's worse. That's, you know, wow, the pain's worse. That means God didn't hear my prayer. And so you start to waver back and forth. It says, you know, he that wavers is like the wind. It's like a wave driven with the wind and tossed. You know, you ever throw a two-by-four into a raging sea that's being blown. It'll go this way for a while, and then it'll drift back this way for a while, and a wave will pick it up and throw it this way for a while. And God says, don't be like that. Every circumstance that comes along, ride it, you know, oh boy, this looks like this is happening. Oh, now this looks like this is happening, and this is not working very good either. And you get involved with everything your eyes are seeing. But he says, don't waver like that, driven with the wind and tossed. It says, for that man, let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord, it says. Don't waste your time thinking you're going to receive anything, because you're not. If every little thing comes in there and you begin to say, oh, I guess this isn't working. No, just anchor yourself to the Word of God. See, He gave us something we can anchor to. Quit being drifting around. Just anchor yourself to the bottom and refuse to be drifting anymore. Yes, Sue.
I've had a disturbing telephone call Friday.
To fear.
It was really strange. I mean, I've had things like that to happen before, but I meant something of that caliber was just really stuck, so.
It actually says here in the Bible that's what's going to happen. In John 14:26, it says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will bring all things to your remembrance when you need them. He just brought something to your remembrance that was going to help you. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the way it's supposed to happen, right here. See? It's the Word of God in action in your life. He brings things to your remembrance. That's what that means. You need a scripture, you need something. If you're walking with the Lord, you're going through something, a lot of times the Lord will just quicken a certain scripture to you. I don't know how many times that's happened to me in bed, Sue. It's usually when your mind is, you know, you're quiet before the Lord, but or in trouble like you were at that time. Your thoughts were coming like a machine gun, different thoughts about situation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're all in this world. We're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's death all around us. But I don't have to fear. I'll fear no evil. I'll be in here, but I don't have to fear. Folks, we're just pilgrims passing through. We're not of this world. We're in this world, but our heavenly kingdom is somewhere else. But we're here for right now, but we don't have to fear along with everybody else. We're Christians. We have these promises in here. And so you've got a little help. So don't refuse to doubt. Control doubting thoughts, and you'll control doubting words. Because, folks, the Word says that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. If we put junk in, we're going to get junk out of our mouths. What we've got to do is replace those thoughts of doubt and fear and things like that that we get from listening to TV, listening to the radio, listening to West Nile disease, whatever's going through, oh boy, you know, this. Forget it. If you're healed by Jesus' stripes, you're healed by Jesus' stripes. If you get the symptoms, well, get rid of them. Use your authority in the name of Jesus. You don't have to fear the same things that the world fears. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples when they were all worried about how they were going to get their finances and how they were going to get their clothing. And he said, don't you worry about all these things the Gentiles are worrying about. Your heavenly Father knows you've got need of these things. You know, it's different when you've got a heavenly Father than the world. See, but we listen to the news, and we're listening to what the world has to say about this stuff. And if we're not careful, us Christians just sort of assume that we're still in the same boat with them. Whatever's going to happen to them is going to happen to us. Uh-uh. They don't have the same rights and privileges we do until they accept Jesus as their Savior, which took care of poverty, sickness, and disease, and spiritual death. We don't have to put up with that stuff, folks. But if you listen to that stuff, if you watch that news, and if you let that stuff get down on your spirit, you just automatically assume it's sort of we're sort of in there with everybody else. We got just as much chance of catching all this junk as anybody else. Or when recession comes, and boy, the stock market's way down, and this is what's happening, we just kind of assume sometimes we're going to ride through it with everybody else, and that's not what the Bible says. We don't have to. If you're a tither, God doesn't throw up his hands and say, oh, well, that works when we're not having recession, but when recession, there's nothing I can do about it, folks. You understand that? No, he doesn't say that. It works whether you're in recession or depression or whatever. Because God's Word says, if you're a giver, you shall receive. Now, there's more to it than that. You have to walk in love, too. But you get my point. We got to be careful what we put in, because when the crisis comes, out of the abundance of what we put in will come out of our mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth and you believe it in your heart, what did Jesus say? It shall come to pass. Mark 11:23. Whatever you say, believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass. So what we are right now is what we've been believing in our heart and saying with our mouth in years past. If you want to change where you are right now, start saying something different, believing something different. And then you'll get out of the situation you're in. Well, if we continually say the same thing about the same situations year in and year out, we'll stay right where we are. That's what the Word of God says. Okay. Eradicate, uproot, and destroy every suggestion, image, thought, or feeling that does not contribute to your faith that you have the answer. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we're supposed to cast down imaginations and reasonings that exalt themselves against this Bible. When they come into your mind, cast them down. You don't have to think those thoughts. I do this all the time. Sometimes at night, things happen to me that happen to Sue. You get something will happen and just situation that you have to face. You know, we all have situations we have to face. And the enemy seems to like at night to kind of prey on your mind. I don't know why that is. And I'll just get up and I'll go in the bathroom and I'll say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. I refuse you doubt. I'll call it by name right now. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. That's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against this Word. And then it says to bring every thought into captivity to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Word. Bring your thoughts into line with this. We can actually do this. The Bible says to do this. This is not an odd thing. It may seem odd because we haven't done it. But this is what we're supposed to do. If the fears and doubts persist, then call them by name and use the name of Jesus. Say, doubt, get out of here in Jesus' name. God has not given us a spirit of fear, the Word of God says, but a power and love and a sound mind, the Word of God says. Fear is not of God. When fear comes in the front door, faith goes out the back door. But when faith comes in the front door, fear leaves. You can't have both at the same time. So when that fear tries to come up at night or whenever it is, call it by name. Say, fear, in Jesus' name, I refuse you right now. Actually, cast that thing out. And when sickness symptoms come on me at night or something like that, I'll get up quietly, get out of bed, go somewhere else where I'm not going to bother Mary Ann, and say, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is written, and I'll do it just like Jesus did, it is written, Satan, that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And if I was healed, I'm healed right now. And you have no right to put sickness upon me right now in Jesus' name. I refuse this sickness symptom you're putting on me. You take it and go somewhere else because I refuse it in Jesus' name. See, we got to the point where we prayed with Mary Ann and the migraines would leave. But then Mary Ann got to the point where she says, wait, I'm not having these anymore. I'm going to quit saying I'm getting migraines all the time. That's the next step. Then you don't have to deal with it all the time. You know, it's good to get healed, but it's better to stay healed, isn't it? And that's what she learned to do. And that was another thing that was wonderful to find out. Okay, refuse to doubt. We've covered that. Be patient. Here's something else you need to do after you've prayed. Be patient. You know, all prayers, manifestations don't happen tomorrow. Hebrews 6:12 says it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Both are necessary. Faith is necessary and patience is also necessary. Look, and it gives an example of Abraham, old Abraham. God promised him a son, didn't he? When he was 75 years old. And it took a while for that promise to become manifested because it took a while for Abraham to get fully with the program, really. In fact, they gave up about halfway through and decided, I know what let's do. And Sarah brought it up, which was really weird. Why don't you go sleep with Hagar and let's go that way? I mean, this isn't working. See, they wavered. That wasn't God's perfect will. That got him in all kinds of trouble, didn't it? I mean, you know, that Ishmael went off and started the whole other group that's given us trouble even to this day. The Arab world that's sprung up from Ishmael that's given us so much problems. So Abraham finally got with God's program, and 25 years later, at the age of 100, they had Isaac. And so it's by faith and patience. Now hopefully you won't have to wait 25 years for the answer to your prayer. Huh?
She had to put her mind in the right gear.
Mary Ann's never said that to us, me, you know, about when we were having kids. Now just find another woman and try it there, you know. Seemed to always work fine with us, didn't it? I don't know how we got there. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. See, the only way you're going to reap and get the answer to that prayer is if you don't faint during the time you're waiting and don't give up and begin to speak negative things about your situation. We're talking about a whole different way of looking at prayer, aren't we, than maybe we've looked at in the past. A whole different approach. And this will build your faith, because once you get you start getting a good record of answered prayer, the next time you pray, you think, I got that last time. You got that working for you. Your faith is a little higher. You can believe for a little bit more. But see, when we go on year after year of praying and hoping and not much happening, you know, it kind of gets your faith down there. You begin to think, sometimes God answers prayer. See, that's where that saying came from. People just threw that out there to help us a little, supposedly, because we weren't getting our prayers answered. We said, well, God always answers. That's true. Just sometimes it's yes and sometimes it's no. You know, most people are praying with strong hope rather than faith. And that's a big difference between hope and faith. Hope is of the soul, the mind. Faith is of the heart, the spirit. They're two different things entirely. Hope, anybody can hope, but hope is important. That's your goal setter. That's the thing that happens first. This is what I want. You got to start off, what do I desire? And that's the hope. But that's not the end of it. You got to do more than hope. You've got to change that hope, get that hope into faith. And faith says this. Faith is the substance of things you hope for. It is the thing. It's the evidence of something you don't yet see. So that's saying when you pray in faith, you have to pray in faith. In other words, with the evidence in your heart already of something you don't yet see. See, that's believing. That's just another way of saying you believe you receive when you pray. See, we need to understand what faith is. It's not hope. Hebrews 10:35 and 6 says this, cast not away your confidence. which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The promise is the thing that we found in the Word that we're believing for. And we need to have patience that once we've done the will of God, that is praying in faith, we will receive the promise. All right? So don't cast away your confidence if tomorrow and the next day you don't see anything change. Trust that God's working on it. When Daniel prayed, he didn't see any change. But the day he prayed, something changed in heaven. And God sent an answer to his prayer. And it was delayed because Satan held it up with a bunch of stuff. And he'll try to hold up your answer too. But you stay in faith and he'll get through. Finally, he got through with the answer, didn't he? But he had to call on some help for Michael. Well, we don't see that with our eyes. We don't know that's going on unless God lets us know. And that's why sometimes we just have to hang in there for a while. And something that will really help you is the next step here. While you're waiting. Now I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 because I want you to see this. This is very, very important. Somebody read this for me. Philippians 4, 6.
No anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Now, what does this verse say? First, what's the first phrase tell us, Ellen? About what? Anything. About the answer. Don't worry about anything. Folks, it's never okay to worry. Now, that sounds like a big order to some of us. But when you get down in your heart what God's Word promises you in here, there is no reason to worry anymore. In fact, worrying is counterproductive because it holds up the answer. See, that's when that doubt and that fear starts to come in. So if God tells us to do something, would He tell us to do something we can't do, do you think? That wouldn't be right, would it? I mean, if I was a parent and I said to my kid, you know, you can eat today if you fly around the house 10 feet off the ground. I want to see a circle of house 10 feet off the ground. Then I'll let you eat. It's not that I'm holding back food from you kids. It's just that I want to see you do something for it. Well, that would be cruel because it's impossible for them to do that. And so I'd hold back something from them because they didn't do something impossible. I'm just trying to point out that God would never ask us to do anything we can't do. If He says, be anxious for nothing, then we don't have to be anxious. How do we not be anxious, Lord? Well, He tells us right away how not to be anxious. That's the next phrase there. What does it say? Sue, you tell me what it says about, what's the next thing it says to do?
Pray about everything.
Excuse me?
Pray about everything.
Pray. All right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known to God. Is that what that verse says? Well, it's almost what it says. What did I leave out? Did you notice that it says there that we're supposed to pray by prayer with thanksgiving and letting our request be made known to God? In other words, the thanksgiving comes at the same time you pray. Now, that's a revelation for some folks. They're so used to thanking something for when they see the answer come. Okay? But if I've promised you something, let's say one of my kids wants a bicycle for their birthday. And I say, honey, what do you want for your birthday? And it's a month off yet. I want a bicycle. Okay, you've been a good kid. You can have the bicycle. Would it be really strange for that child to say to me, thanks, Dad? No. Not once I've said what I'm going to do. Thank you, Father. Thanks, Dad. Really, but I haven't got it yet. But why did they thank me? Why in the world would one of my kids thank me if they haven't got the bicycle yet? Right. Hello. When we find the scriptural promise and we've prayed, have we got the promise? We do. We start thanking God for the answer right when we pray. And we keep thanking Him till we see the answer. Then you can thank Him one more time if you want to. But what I'm trying to point out is, God is wondering why all His kids aren't thanking Him once they've prayed, if they truly believe they received when they prayed, just like that little child does when I say they're going to get a bicycle for their birthday. They say, well, thanks. Why did they say thanks? Because they believe they received when they asked, because I said they could have it. That's why they thank me now. Well, if we really truly get in our heart that when we pray, we really believe that we've received it, we're going to be thankful right then, aren't we? Just like that little kid. It's not so weird to start thanking God then. If we start waiting to thank God until we see the answer after it's come, then I wonder if we're ever going to get the answer. Because did we believe in between or did we not? If we're not thankful.
Well, we don't.
Well, we haven't believed, have we? We're just waiting to see. And then if it comes, we'll thank you. But that little child, when they ask for the bicycle and I say, yeah, honey, you can have it for your birthday. Thanks, Dad. The only reason they're saying thanks is because they believe they received at that instant that I said it was okay. And when we find God saying it's okay, when we find His promise, and when we pray, we can start thanking. Now, let me just wind up with this one little thing here. I heard this preacher one time, and he knew this woman, and she was a teacher of the Word of God, this woman, and she got real sick, real sick. In fact, she was on her deathbed, and she began to pray. And she wrote a book on healing, too, this woman. She was a doctor. She was a medical doctor. She was also a preacher. And she was praying and praying and praying, oh, God, heal me. God, heal me. I know your word covers prayer. I know in your word it says that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And God finally, after many days of this, gave her a little vision. And it's very instructive for us. In the vision, He showed her a scale. You know these beam balance scales with the little things hanging down on both sides? And it had two sides to it. And one side was way down, and that was prayer. Real heavy was prayer on this side. And the other, there was a lot on it, heaped up on there. And the other side was praise. It was just a little tiny bit over here. It was all down to one side. And she understood just from that little thing that what she needed to do is begin to praise God more to even out the scale. Because it was fine that she'd prayed. But where was her praise if she really believes that she received when she prayed? And so she began to praise God and thank God for the answer to the prayer, her healing, even before she saw it. She did that for 3 days and three nights, just continually thanking, oh, Father, Father, thank you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for taking away this cancer. Thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you took my infirmities and you bore my sickness. Thank you that you redeemed me from the curse of the law, which includes every sickness and every disease. Thank you that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness. Thank you, Father. 3 days this went on. And she was evening up the scale. At the end of the third day, every symptom left her. She was completely healed. A lot of times, the only thing that's missing is the praise and the thanksgiving before we see the answer to our prayer. You remember Paul and Silas in jail when they were in stocks for preaching the Word of God? In Acts 16, they were preaching the Word and they cast a demon out of a girl who had a spirit of divination, and these guys got the whole city on top of them and they threw them in jail. They put them in stocks. And it says, and at midnight, what did Paul and Silas do? Gripe and complain? It says they prayed and sang praises unto God. Didn't say they just prayed. Oh God, get us out of here. Didn't say Silas said, Paul, why did you come? That vision you had about going to here and preaching must have been something you ate. It wasn't God. Couldn't have been. You know, because look at us in jail now. We're coming over here. Nope. They sang praises unto God. And they prayed and sang praises. Both. See? Prayer and praise worked together to get the answer. And what happened when they did that? You remember? I would look this up, but we don't have it. It was an earthquake. Mm-hmm. Right. And not only theirs, but everybody. Now, if somebody says, you know, there was an earthquake when they did that, and everybody would get, yay, man, that's really something. But see, the thing is, people could say, well, that's just a coincidence. There are earthquakes. But there's never been an earthquake where everybody in jail's bonds were freed. Every door flew open. See, that's God. And that's happened, not because they just prayed, but because at midnight, the darkest hour, that's another, I think it has a double meaning there. At midnight is usually when the enemy will come against us. At the darkest hour, they prayed and sang praises unto God. So while you're waiting for the answer to your prayer, be sure that you do a little praising too, even before you see the answer. And then you will get the answer to what you've prayed.
Okay, let's go over the homework for Lesson 11, entitled Praying to Get Results, Part 3. Now, in the lessons up to this point, Lessons 1 and 2, we're going through the 8 steps to answered prayer, and we've covered the first 5 steps, and we're ready now to cover the last 3. So let's now do the homework for this last lesson, in which we're covering these last 3 steps. The last 3 steps are: number 6, refuse to doubt. Number 7, be patient. And number 8, praise God for the answer. Okay, let's go over the homework now. True or false?
After we've prayed and asked God for something, we will normally see some evidence of answered prayer by the next day, if we have prayed in faith. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. You can't put a time limit on how long it's going to take from the time that you pray until the time you see the answer. So that's false. Yes, pray in faith, but don't look to see with your eyes immediately after you pray to see if anything's changed. The next question will answer this a little further. Next question, true or false? Not necessarily. Well, let's repeat the first question so we know what we're talking about. After we've prayed and asked God for something, we will normally see some evidence of answered prayer by the next day if we have prayed in faith. And the next question says, not necessarily, but there will be something happening on the spiritual level that I can't see if I've prayed in faith. And that's true. When we pray, that starts things happening in a realm that we can't see into. That is the spiritual realm. But many Christians make a mistake and look in the natural realm of their five senses, what they can see and hear and taste and smell and touch, and see if anything's changed in that realm. And that's misleading. No. When we pray, things begin in the spiritual realm, and you can't see it at first. And so the answer to the second question then is true. Next question. Satan often waits until after we've prayed to hinder our prayer because there's a time interval after we've prayed and before the prayer is answered that we're the most vulnerable to his suggestions. That's kind of a long true and false statement, but it's true. Satan will often wait until after we've prayed to hinder our prayer, because usually when we're praying, our faith is high, we've been reading the Bible, we found out what the promise says, and we found that it covers our case, and we've seen in the Word of God that God, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and so we're enthused, and we find the promise, and we pray. And then time goes by. And as time goes by, and we don't see anything with our senses, there is a temptation to be susceptible to the enemy's suggestions. And so this answer is true. That's why we have to be very careful in this time after we pray. Next question, true or false? It's okay if we think that our prayer might not be answered, because you never know what God might do. You can't put God in a box. He's sovereign. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, although I've heard many Christians and even some pastors who have basically quoted these kinds of things after a certain amount of time goes by and no answer is evident in the natural that anything's happened with their prayer. They'll say something like that, well, you can't put God in a box. There's probably some reason he hasn't answered this prayer. Or God's sovereign. You just don't know what God might do. But this is false. I was discussing this once with a pastor, and he was a very good man, a very nice man, but he was wrong about this one point, and he kept coming back to the point that you just don't know what God might do, because you can't put God in a box, and God is sovereign. And as I was sitting there discussing this with him, God spoke to my spirit, and he said to me, you tell him that the box I've chosen to put myself into is my word. Did you get that? God has chosen to place himself in a position of obligation to answer prayer by giving us the promises in his word. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20 that all the promises of God are yes. You find a promise, that's God's will in that situation, and you can bank on it. Otherwise, how could we pray in faith? And in Mark 11:24 it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you shall get the manifestation. So how can we believe we receive when we pray if we're not sure that it's God's will to answer our prayer, or that we feel we're putting God in a box by asking for something, or we feel that word sovereign, well, God might change his mind. Maybe today he doesn't feel like answering that promise. No, folks, God isn't fickle. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his promises are forever. When you find a promise in the Word of God, that enables us to pray in faith. So the answer to this question is false. Next question. God gave us an anchor to hold us in place while we wait for the manifestation of our prayer answer. This anchor is called the blank, blank, blank that contains his blank. What goes in those blanks? Okay, let's find out.
God gave us an anchor to hold us in place while we wait for the manifestation of our prayer answer. This anchor is called the Word of God that contains His promises. When God promises something, you can take it to the bank. That's what He will do in that situation, if we will act on that promise and not faint. Next question. True or false? We get our prayer answer before we pray and then patiently wait for the prayer answer manifestation after we pray. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. We get our prayer answer by finding the promise of God that covers our situation, and then we patiently wait for the manifestation of our prayer answer after we pray. So that's true. The 2 Corinthians 1:20 I have down there is your hint. And 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Next question, true or false? If I entertain doubtful thoughts after I've prayed, it increases the probability that I will give voice to these thoughts. Is that true or is that false? Well, that's absolutely true. Doubtful thoughts are the first step in giving voice to those thoughts. How do we know this? Well, for one thing, Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. In other words, whatever you've got in your heart, whatever you've placed down there, you will eventually speak. If you place doubt and a lack of trust in God's promises down there, that's the kind of thing you'll speak. That's why the only way we can change what we're going to say is to change what's in our heart. And we change what's in our heart by getting into the Word of God and doing what it says in Proverbs 4:20, where God said, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. And so, folks, if you want to have success in life, we're going to have to place in our heart the things that are in God's Word. Otherwise, we're going to have worldly things in our heart, and we're going to speak those things, and we're going to hinder God in answering our prayers. So the answer to that question is true. Next question, true or false? And if I give voice to those doubtful thoughts, it can hinder my prayer. Is this true or false? That's true. How do we know it's true? All through the Bible, it tells us that we have to be careful of what we say. Proverbs 18:21 comes to mind, where it says, death and life are in the power of the, what? Tongue. What we say with our mouth is very powerful. Jesus said it this way in Mark 11:23. He said that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, that man shall have whatsoever he says. So, if we go back and look at that statement of Jesus and analyze it, Jesus is basically saying, what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass in your life. And so, if we give voice to doubtful thoughts, it definitely can hinder our prayers, so that's true. Next question, true or false? Christians live in this world and therefore must go through all the trials those in this world go through. Is that true or false? That's false. It's true that we do live in this world, but is it also true that we must go through all the trials that those in the world go through? No, that's not true. That's why God gives us promises in His Word. So that part's false, which makes the whole statement false. You know, some people get confused about the things that we will go through, and we don't really have any choice in the matter, and the things that we do have a choice in the matter. I've always found it's very helpful to go back to what 1 Peter 2:21 says, where it says that Jesus was our example in suffering. What does that mean? That simply means that the things that Jesus suffered, we can expect to suffer too. I mean, I'm talking about the things like persecution and misunderstanding and all of that. Jesus suffered this, and He's our example in suffering. We're going to suffer those things too. Now, I don't mean the substitutionary suffering that Jesus did for us. That was a one-time thing that only Jesus did for us on the cross. And we won't ever go to the cross to atone for men's sins, that's for sure. But the other suffering, the persecutions, the misunderstandings, being brought before the authorities and castigated, all those things will happen to the believer as well. Now, the things that we don't have to go through, you know, he promises certain things. He promises us health, for example. For by Jesus' stripes and his substitutionary suffering, we were healed. We do not have to put up with sickness. Now, that doesn't mean sickness symptoms might not come, but what we do with them after they come is different from the world, because we know from studying the Word of God that by Jesus' stripes we were healed, that Jesus took our infirmities, he bore our sickness, that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, and in that curse was every sickness and every disease, the Bible tells us. So we need to understand the things that we have authority over and the things like persecution and misunderstanding that we will suffer. And so the question is stated is false. True or false? We are and have now the things in our life we have been believing and saying in times past. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's true. You know, a lot of people have a hard time understanding this. They say, why did these things happen to me? Why did all this happen to me? You know, folks, a lot of things in our lives can be avoided. And that's simply by watching what we say. Remember, Jesus said, whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth shall come to pass. Well, if we believe something in our heart and say it with our mouth, what does that say? It says it's going to come to pass in our life. Well, how can we change the bad things that are happening in our life? Get something different in our heart. How do we get something different in our heart? By studying God's Word and finding out what His Word promises and what His Word says. Put that in your heart and say that, and we'll have good success in the area of life. Next question. If I want to change what I am and what I have right now, I must start to blank and blank something different. What goes in there? Let's read it again. If I want to change what I am and what I have right now, I must start to believe and say something different. If we want to get out of the rut we're in, we're going to have to put something else in our heart so we can say something else and get out. If we keep saying the same old thing we've been saying for years, that just reinforces where we are, It keeps putting us right back in the same old rut. If we're going to change something, we have to put something different in our heart and begin to say that. Next question, true or false? We can't have both fear and faith in our heart on the same thing at the same time. Is that true or false? That's true. Fear and faith are mutually exclusive on the same things. For example, you can't have faith for finances and be fearing about finances at the same time. You can't have faith for healing and fear about healing at the same time. It's just like you can't be wet and dry at the same time. These things are mutually exclusive. So we have to be careful that if we're trying to receive something from God, there is no fear in that area. How do we eliminate the fear in certain areas? We go by find out what the Word says about that situation and replace the fear that's about that thing in our heart with faith in our heart for that same thing. See, the Word is our source for faith, because what does Romans 10:17 say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what the Word of God has to say. So if you want faith on a certain subject, you have to go hear what the Word of God has to say on that subject, and that will bring faith. Next question, true or false? Hebrews 6:12 says, it's by faith and trust that we inherit the promises. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. It's good to have faith and trust in God, but that's not what Hebrews 6:12 says. Hebrews 6:12 says, it's by faith and what? Patience that we inherit the promises. That's what Hebrews 6:12 said. So the question as stated there is false. Hebrews 10:35 and 36 says in the King James Version, we have need of blank that we might receive the blank. What goes in those blanks? Hebrews 10:35 and 6 says that we have need of patience that we might receive the promises. So patience is very important. That's the next question, is true and false. Philippians 4:6 says, believers should not worry, but pray about those things that we are tempted to worry about instead. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. It says believers should not worry. Does that mean it's always wrong to worry? Well, yes, that's what it says. If you go back and read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, it talks a lot about worrying about what we eat and what we have to put on and all of that. And he said, you know, about all these things, the Gentiles are worrying, contrasting the fact that we're children of God. God knows that we're his children, and he'll take care of us. We shouldn't have to be worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to put on. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And Philippians 4:6, it said, and this is the Amplified version, which I really love. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So what does it say there? Does it say we can worry sometimes? No. It says believers should never worry, but always pray about those things that we're tempted to worry about. So that's what that verse says. So that's true. Next question. Sometimes God will ask us to do some things we can't do, but we should just do our best anyway. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. We should always do our best, but God will never ask us to do something we can't do. That's one thing I love about the Word of God. If God says, do this, he will help us to do it. He won't ever ask you to do something you can't do. That would be unjust of God, and God is not unjust. So that question is false, as it's stated there. Next question. Name two different times we should thank God for the answer to our prayer. What two different times should we thank God for the answer to our prayer? Well, what did Philippians 4:6 say? It says, do not worry or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So, one time we thank God is right after we pray. Prayer with thanksgiving. We should end our prayer on a note of thanksgiving. After we've prayed, we should say to our Heavenly Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've heard this prayer, and I thank you, Father, that I will receive, I have, the thing for which I've prayed. Thank you, Father. And then the next time we should pray is when we receive the manifestation or the manifested answer to our prayer. Both times. You know, really, this isn't so hard. I have to remember to thank God after I've prayed. That's not unnatural. Think about this example for a second. Let's say a small child asks their father or mother for a bicycle for their birthday. And mom or dad says, yes, I'll get you one. Now, is it unusual for the child to say, well, thanks, Dad, or thanks, Mom, after they've received the promise of the bicycle? No, that's not unusual at all. Thanks that I can have this for my birthday. And then when they receive the bicycle at their birthday time, is it unusual for that child to thank their mom and dad again? No. Both times, both when the promise is made known unto the child, yes, you can have it, and secondly, when they finally receive the manifestation of the promise, both times. And so that's all God's saying. When you believe you received it, when you believe my word, that you've received the answer to your prayer after you've prayed, thank me then. And then when you see the answer, when it actually comes into manifestation, thank him then too, just like you would your own earthly father. It's not that unusual. Next question. In Acts 16:16-22, Paul and Silas shouldn't have cast the devil out of that girl because that's what got them thrown in jail. Is that true or false? Well, that's what got them thrown in jail, but it's false that they shouldn't have cast the devil out of that girl. Just because we do something that's according to the Word of God and within God's will does not mean that man is not going to misunderstand, and sometimes it's going to get us in trouble with the authorities.
Jesus was in trouble, wasn't he? Did he do anything wrong? No, he didn't. Did he get in trouble anyway? Yes, he did. And you know what? That same things will happen to us, just like it happened to Paul and Silas right here. They did what they should have done. They cast the devil out of that girl. She was restored. But the people that were taking that girl around and allowing her to manifest these demonic manifestations were upset that their source of income was upset and destroyed. And they complained and got Paul and Silas in trouble and got them thrown in jail. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't have done what God told them to do and cast that devil out using the name of Jesus. So the answer to that question is false. Now, here's our last question. Paul and Silas prayed and praised God after the earthquake freed them from the stocks. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. It says they sang and made praises unto God, and they did this while they were still in their stocks. As a matter of fact, that praying and praising while they were still in stocks is what caused the earthquake and got them freed from the stocks. And so, see, God expects praise and prayer before we get out of our situation, before we receive the answer to our prayer, before we receive the finances. He expects the praise, and then after the manifestation comes in as well. But see, sometimes we've been missing it in the sense that we have not been doing the praying and or the praising and thanking God before we see the answer to our prayer. And so this example of Paul and Silas is very helpful to us so that we know that we are to pray and to praise God before we see the manifested answer to our prayer. And so that then completes the homework for this lesson.